Welcome aboard, and it's Thursday night. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. We are we're live, and we're going to be talking about some kayak fishing, some things coming up. Hope everybody's recovered from the holidays and got the tree down, got the lights down, got Santa Claus off the porch, and we're ready to rock and roll in 2012 now. At least I think we are. But let's see. We got some folks in the chat room to say hi. Let's make sure everybody refreshes their screen in case they forget. But Bonita Bob's in there. Pop's in there. Hey, Pop. Greg from New Hampshire, he's in there. Everybody's refreshing now, so they're popping in and out. The landing crew, and we'll get to him in a sec. The sushi's in the house. Got a ninja. Lozier is in there. So, all right. Welcome, everybody. And joining us here on Buzzard's Row is Wheeler. What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
I hear you're in Kansas.
Yes.
Put your ruby slippers on and come home.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But, you know, enjoying it out here. It's, it's a good way of you know, even though the same family, you know, was out here,
right.
It was an opportunity for me to hit the many Bass Pro Shops along the way and the Cabela's and, you know, to talk to the local, quote-unquote, experts and see what they're doing and see how they're adapting to this time of year. And my knowledge base has grown, which is a positive thing for me to take back to Virginia and see what I can do. So.
Okay.
See what happens.
I thought you were just going to say it's really flat out here.
Actually, on this side, it's really rolly hills.
Oh, you're in the east side?
If I head 30 miles west, I'll be in nothingness.
Cool. So they got some green fish there. What else?
Crappie and brim, some musky, and some landlocked stripers. So.
Landlocked stripers, cool.
Yeah.
Well, get on it, man. All right. So we'll see if Salt Warrior shows up. Saw a picture he posted on Facebook today of a green fish that he caught with a Shimano wax wing. So it's not just for saltwater anymore. That's kind of cool. Also joining us here on the row is the man with the golden voice, and we haven't really introduced him properly lately, so let me make sure I get his intro here. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Greg.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Greg Becker.
That's it.
Maybe. That's you.
Yeah, I'd almost forgotten about that. That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it back.
I was also thinking if we got, you know, if everybody started saying, well, it's cold and everything, you know, I was thinking, well, we could, like, you know, kind of drop the music down, turn up the fireplace, break out the Cavassier.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is going to be a, there's a whole bunch of commercials that come to mind, but.
Love it.
Wow, I didn't think the batteries in my sensor filter were that good. That was amazing. I got to pat myself on the back for that one. High five.
All right. Hey. How you doing, Greg?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you, Chip?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Awesome, as always, to be here.
You guys posted up some pretty cool pictures the other day from doing a little work out there with Bill.
Yeah, who sends his regards. He's in Fort Lauderdale, stuck on a cruise ship tonight and doesn't know if he's going to make it on the show, but he asked me to give his regards to everybody.
He's stuck on a cruise ship like he planned on being there?
Being there, but he's fixing something. He's not cruising. He's fixing
something.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
But, yeah, we had a great time with a couple of guys out there. Caught some nice redfish.
Uh-huh.
Got out on a Saturday that oddly was not a seven-day front. 15 gusting 30 out of three different directions and braving the whitecaps day. We almost didn't know how to fish in a flat calm, but had a nice time. It was a beautiful day to be out on the water, and out in shirt sleeves waiting in the water on New Year's Eve is something that I think I've gotten kind of used to pretty quickly down here. So.
Yeah. Well, you're getting into that salt in your veins, man. You know.
That's it.
And pretty soon you'll leave the state for something and you'll go, what am I doing here? You know.
Yeah. Well, this time of year, you know, I'm used to walking on the water because it's
hard.
It's warm, so.
Dragging your little sled with the auger and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, I never got into that.
You know, I tried it one time. My wife is from the Chicago area, and an uncle of hers is a big-time fisherman up on Lake Michigan and stuff, and we didn't go out on Michigan, but we went off on another lake, and, you know, had the little hooch there with the – it's like, you know, sitting in this giant port-a-john with holes in the floor, you know, and, you know, you got this little Barbie rod that you're trying to catch fish with. I mean, you don't want to say it's cool because it's a poor pun, but, I mean, it was cold, you know, you're constantly having to dig the ice out of the little hole and stuff. And then when you catch a fish, you're like, you got to kind of get it so that it can come out through the hole.
Right. Well, my wife is pretty tolerant, but when she told me that the only frozen fish she wanted me bringing her had a picture of Gorton on the front, I kind of took that as a clue.
The guy with the little yellow rain hat, you know?
Exactly right.
Not the one on the tricycle from Lafayette, right. But the fish stick guy.
Right? Yeah, either that or Mrs. Paul, one of the two.
So. Right, yeah. So, okay. They're having some problems in the chat room with the radio. So I must have killed it. Let's see. But when I put the Barry White on, man. it still says we're on the air. So next weekend, man, not this coming one, but the 14th and the 15th, we're gonna come down your way. they're talking about my head. So I need to get some space music so that when they talk about Sputnik and the all of that. Gravity hole. Yeah. I wish I could do the Mike Myers, you know, the Scottish guy, you know. A huge head. Got his own little pillow. Right. All right. So anyways, but yeah, we're going to head down your way, man, next on the 14th and 15th and fish the lagoon.
Ah, very good.
Got to get a little salt in my system, so if you're in the area, if you're free or something, man, throw Bill in the back of the truck, man, and y'all come on over.
Yeah, we'll see what's happening. We've got, he and I are both supporting the Frogman Swim across Tampa Bay this weekend, and then
right.
We may be postponing the next Tampa Bay Heroes on the Water event because of the fact that the water temperature has dropped down here and not everybody, we don't have waders and everything to equip everybody properly and make sure that if the day is a little bit cooler that everybody's going to be safe and comfortable. So we might wait until February when it warms back up again and go from there.
Cool. What are the water temps? I mean,
you and me talking, I guess that's what it is.
I guess it's it, me, you, and Wheeler's in there, but that's it.
Well, they'll catch it on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Sushi's in the house, man. He needs to get in there and fix it, man.
Yep. Water temperatures have dropped from, I think, about 67 degrees last at the beginning of the week to last I saw today, about 58. And that's a pretty steep drop in that period of time. So we're not sure what the fishing's going to look like this weekend, but the paddling for a good cause and supporting a good cause will be a great time. So,
right. How many guys you guys are there expected to show up?
I don't know. Last I heard, they were looking for 50 kayakers.
Wow.
To support swimmers. Now that may include other support staff and folks. I would be, you know, that's an armada between kayakers and swimmers. They'd have to go in several different heats, but. This will be my first time out there, so I really can't say too much more about it.
Hmm. Yeah, I know Bill did it last time, showed some stuff up there.
Yep.
And, So there was, he had some pretty cool pictures. He kind of lost his frogman about halfway off there. Had to look for him and stuff. He told some story like that. But it was it looks like a very cool event. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that's cool. So they are having some technical difficulties. No one in the chat room can hear. We're getting ads, but no audio. So.
Hey Chip, I gotta get rolling, man. I'm still packing the truck, so. I'll
okay,
you
dude.
Later.
Take it easy, man. Bye. We'll see you back. All right.
Yep.
Bye. All right. So it's me, you, and let's say hi to Nate. Hey Nate.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. It looks like we're just kind of talking to ourselves because they don't have any audio in the chat room, or at least from the other side. So.
I talk to myself all the time, and I answer myself too.
Yeah, well, you're one of those. You know, dude, I couldn't do the truck driving thing, man. I mean, I like going places, but I would just like fall asleep. I get really bored.
I'm kind of a talk radio addict, so I've got about 18 hours of talk radio every day on my iPhone. I'm a ham radio operator. I've got 5 ham radios in here, so I can talk to people all over the darn world.
Wow. What's your call?
And Kilo Echo 5, Victor Sierra Romeo.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I never could do the deal where I go to work and sit in one spot and have somebody breathing down my neck to do something all day. I don't do well having a boss, I guess.
Yeah. I got a boss and I got a desk, but I'm usually not there. I'm usually out wandering around and stuff, so I do sustainability stuff around facilities and all that.
I got a corner office with a view.
Yeah, there you go. So, but all right. So we are. I haven't checked the calendar lately, but I think we're at 6 weeks out from Boondoggle, President's Day Boondoggle 2. So 6 weeks, and we're going to be down in Chokoloskee, Florida. We are staying. Our hosts at the Chokoloskee Island Park. If you want information, if you're listening to the podcast or you're a guest in the chat room and listening in, you can find out more about it at kayakfishingradio.com or yakangler.com/boondoggle. And we are all going to show up down there with all of our little plastic navy, and we are going to fish. So, cool. And it should be a great time. We've got, let's see, the Yak Sushi and Sam are going to leave Louisville and stop in Atlanta after about 4 hours of traffic driving. The Sushi Man likes to do that. He shows up in Atlanta at like 4 o'clock and then gets mad at the traffic. And then we're going to head out early Friday morning and drive all day. So, and Greg, I saw you guys have your spot designated.
33, camp, baby.
Camp Becker Haywood, right?
That's it. Spot number 33. Be rocking the house.
Are you stoked, man? Are you like getting pumped?
I am, because up until pretty much yesterday, I wasn't sure whether or not I was going to be able to make it. So you
got all the paperwork taken care of, signed and notarized?
Paperwork's taken care of, assuming that no bad things happen. It's my expectation to be there, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
Cool. And we have some really cool stuff. I think the Hammerhead is going to come down, and so he's got the ceremonial Dutch oven. If anyone else is coming to Boondoggle and they have a Dutch oven, bring it, because it's become a mainstay after the big meal, is to create the Dutch oven cobbler. And that's an awesome little tasty treat there. So, and we'll try to work out some good vittles there. I know Salt Warrior there, Russ Pilant, he brought some awesome sausage from Louisiana. Some of it was called Houdat and some Boudin, and we steamed that all up. We even had a blue crab that we pulled out of the water and threw it in the pot with it, and some shrimp and everything. Had a huge low country boil there at the end of the Charleston, South Carolina boondoggle. A great
cop. Do you have any stone crab? Because
no,
I got a brand new Leatherman. I'm itching to break in.
Well, stone crab will be in season down there, and I will demonstrate the appropriate technique after you show yours.
Well, just make sure we post a note having everybody bring safety glasses.
Safety glasses for all for the shrapnel technique of stone crab opening. Yes.
Hey, it was my first time.
I know. You did it well, though. You did it well. But that's some tasty stuff, too, right? So I know what a Dutch oven is. What is that? Need something different at our house. Oh, okay. Loser. If you guys haven't, if you missed Tuesday night, we've got a new group. We miss our buddy Rob DeVore, the Bad Back Cast. He's on sabbatical and filling in and taking his spot on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern are the Double L crew, the team of Chris Lally Lozier and Mark Lozier from Virginia Beach, and they're great couple and very knowledgeable in the kayak fishing arena, and they're a great asset to have here on Kayak Fishing Radio. In fact, they blew my socks off on Tuesday night with a record attendance of we had 40 or 20 something in the chat room, and we had like 12. We had quite a few folks for the first time, and then they had they've reached 110 total listeners of their show, and it hasn't even been a week. So they're giving Chuck a run for his money there. I saw Chuck in the house there. There's Redfish Chuck. So. But they're a great bunch. If you haven't listened to their show, it's on iTunes. You just go to podcasts and search Kayak Fishing Radio, and you can see all of our podcasts. We finished out the year with total live listeners and podcast listeners for Kayak Fishing Radio with 25,570, I think, was our total count for 2011. So, thanks to all you guys out there. That was that's nice. It's impressive, and we hope that you keep listening in this year. So, they did a great job. That's right. So, anyways, so Greg. Waders for your youngster,
sir.
Have you found anything?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I had the clone try on his youth set, and he's just now. It's kind of like magic, you know. You look at him, he goes to bed, he wakes up the next morning, he's 2 inches taller. So
yeah, that's what I'm dealing with.
So he's got a pair of the White River, the BPS brand, their youth extra large. And he's actually been in those for about 2 years, but he doesn't have much left in them. So I'm going to put them in the, I'll put them in the pack up for our trip down. And, if I see you next, you know, on the 14th or 15th, you can have them then, or we'll see you down at, Boondoggle. We'll bring them down for you.
Standing. Thank you very much.
And we just pass them on, you know. The patch kit is still there. There's no holes in them or anything, but you just cinch up the shoulder things, and they kind of look big on them for a while. But as he grew into them, and they work out great. They're really nice to have in the cool weather, you know, keep your legs warm and stuff like that. So
that's great, because that's what we're looking for right now. He's been, you know, if we get out now, it'd be just the water would just be too cold. So
right. And I know, I mean, Chuck's always out there in waders and stuff. So, but you know, if you don't like getting wet, that's the way to go. Especially in the lagoon, it's usually not much more than about waist deep out there anyway. So, most spots it's even shallower than that. And with the stocking feet on the waders, the mud can't pull them off of you. You know. So, anyways, let's take a look and see who's in the. We got the Loziers, the Double L crew is with us in the chat room tonight. And Yak Sushi's in there, Hammerhead. Looks like everybody's got sound again, so everybody's talking about their spot numbers and all of that stuff, so that's awesome, man. We're going to have a great time down at Boondoggle. And we're starting to think about another one, too. So maybe put together something for, you know, before it gets too hot in the summer. And then maybe looking for something in the fall. I don't know. There's just that one point in the summer where the fishing just doesn't seem to work out. You get a lull in the summer there, Greg, for fishing?
Not much.
Not much?
Not much. We didn't. I tried very hard not to. Well, that's it. You know, fish are still there. The water's still there, so the fish are there. It's a matter of finding them. Fish still got to eat. So it's just a matter of finding what you can stick in front of their faces. Some of the things that changed a little bit from the cooler weather fishing were the number of sharks and stingrays that were out on the flats. So so your wading technique you got to be a little bit more vigilant about the stingray shuffle and seeing what's going on. Junior Flyer was a little bit jazzed when about a 2.5-foot bonnet head cruised right up to within about 3 feet of him and then veered off while we were out there. And you know, I think he was wondering why Ahab Dad didn't swoop down from on high with a harpoon to keep it away from him, and it was no big deal. But, you know, when we later on in the day, when we saw some of the bigger bull sharks move into the flat, we got back up in the boats instead of in the water. But
yeah,
you know, during the summer there are stingrays out on the flats down here that are the size of a Buick hood. Saw one that seriously was probably 4.5 to 5 feet across and had a tail about that plus a half. That's kind of scary. Although, like, I think you were telling me a story about the clone hooking into one of those. I think that was just Toad's wild ride, no doubt.
Well, actually, the fish, you know, I keep the drag set loose on his reels, and so the fish was taking drag a lot, but you know it didn't even really seem like a stingray when he hooked it up. It was when we were there in Charleston, but it was fun for him. He, you know, he fought it and stuff. I put a stakeout pin in and held him up against the bank there and stuff instead of letting him drag him out into the flats. But yeah, it was pretty big. Once I saw the tail come up and everything, that's something you don't want to bring in the boat and stuff like that. So we just cut him off and let him go. But it was a good fight. He was pretty well wore out. But yeah, I had the similar experience with the little bonnet head swimming around. But he thought it was really cool because, you know, he'd stand there and they'd swim through his legs and stuff like that. There were a couple of them. We were down in your neck of the woods fishing with the bad bank cast there in one of the spots on a little flat and nice clear water, and you could see the little bonnet heads come up and they're just a couple of feet long. But well, and on that note, the first time, I think he was about Little Fly Reel's age, we took him down to the Disney World there, and he just was not into any of the rides, you know, but he dug the water parks, right? And we get over to the one water park, and they got that tank you can swim through that's got the sharks and stuff in it.
Really?
Have you been there?
Have not.
Yeah, there's a tank. It's in, what's it called? Typhoon Lagoon, I think. And he found out, he's like, yeah, let's go do that. He wouldn't get on a roller coaster, but we would swim through this tank with these sharks. You know, you get a mask fins, well, no fins, but just mask and snorkel. And, you know, you just kind of, they don't let you dive down with them, but you just kind of float across the top, you know, and the sharks and the rays are all swimming underneath you and stuff like that. But, and the water was really cold too in the tank. So, but, we did that like 6 or 7 times. You just keep going around in the circle and get back in the line and stuff, man. But, he thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And he, we sent him to summer camp up here in Atlanta at the, aquarium. And oh yeah, he's got his dive license now, and as soon as he turns so old, he wants to go swimming in the big tank with the big fish. So, but pretty cool.
That sounds like a good time.
Are you dive certified?
I am not. I started getting into rescue diving and stuff, and blew out one of my eardrums on one of the dives, and that was that.
That was that, huh? Yeah, we put the clone through the, well, as soon as I was still in Pensacola, and this is something about the kids and kayaking and stuff, that if you're around the water, your kids need to know how to swim. And so we did the Red Cross little baby swimming thing with him, you know, so
yep.
Before he could walk, he could swim and, you know, put him in the water and stuff. And even my pop, who's in there in the chat room, took him to the class one day and stuff. So, but, and then making sure that they're wearing a properly fitted PFD and stuff with the little submarine strap so that it doesn't pop off over the top of their head and all that good stuff. But, yeah, he's always been in the water. And, as soon as he was, I think he was 8 when he started, 7 or 8 when he was old enough to, start the PADI certification. They call it the SEAL team, and the kids go in on a Saturday and they learn a little dive lesson and they work out in the pool and stuff. And by the time he turned 12, he was eligible to, he had done all the little classes in between and stuff. So we still haven't done the open water dive, but he has his basic certificate, his dive certificate. So that's a cool thing too. If you haven't had the chance with Little Fly Reel, is to take the kayaks up to Homosassa and go into the springs there. Take a mask, fin, snorkel, put them in the back of the yaks, and go up into the little freshwater springs there and jump off the kayak and tow them behind you, and just swim along and look at all the fish and the manatees and all that kind of stuff. It's a very cool kayak trip.
No, it sounds like it. Sounds like it'd be great.
Yeah. So. Somebody wants me to use the term hot bunking in a sentence on the radio. Okay? Hot bunking. Who's hot bunking?
I believe you just did.
Yeah, I did. These guys are all... It's called hot racking. It's not hot bunking. A bunk is some civilian term. Rack is what you call the thing you sleep in. Yak Sushi, he's a squid. He should know that. Hot racking. Hot bunking and Dutch ovens on the same show. That's right, Lozier, man. We're culturally diverse here. So.
And we're equal opportunity offenders.
That's right. Yep, we'll do that. Unfortunately, I don't have the meat rod mix on the list for
That's
noise.
That's
quite right. But, so, Nate, you still with us?
I am, sir.
Are you driving?
Well, currently I'm pulled over waiting to. I've got a little car I've got to deliver to a guy. He's supposed to be here to meet me expeditiously, he said.
Uh huh.
So, currently, no. I guess that would be the simple answer to that.
Are we gonna see you at the Boondoggle, Nate?
I wish, but there's just no way.
Yeah. So where actually are you from, Nate?
I live in Northeast Oklahoma.
Northeast Oklahoma, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's kind of a drive then.
I wouldn't mind the drive. Of course, driving for me is not a big deal.
Yeah, I guess
the thing is, we run a small ranch as well, and With my business, with this truck, it's hard to say no to a lot of things because there are certain things I do that if I say no, somebody else will swoop in and take from me. And so I have a hard time saying no to customers. And then it's really difficult to get away from the cows and the horses and the dogs and all of that stuff.
Yeah, now that is a thing. I have three critters that I always have to deal with when we go somewhere.
We try about 55 cows and 16 horses, and trying to find somebody to look after everything, and it's just really difficult to get away.
You got like a big giant pond on your place there that's filled with big bass and stuff like that. We could boondoggle at your house.
I have two, and you can catch a bass every single cast, no matter what lure you throw, and you will not catch anything but bass, but I don't think I've ever caught one over 12 inches.
Oh.
It's overstocked. So the guy that lived there before I did, he would, and this is illegal, but he would go down, I live really, really close to a river, a navigation channel. And he would go down there and he'd just catch all the bass he could and put it in his pond, thinking that, you know, he'd just have this pond load of huge bass that he could go down and catch whenever he wanted. But of course, you know, as the population got to be too much, they just feed on each other. And now there's nothing in there over a foot long.
Yeah.
They're aggressive. It's fun. We don't have kids, but I've got friends with kids, and I bring them over there and just rig them up with those little weightless 4-inch Senkos and let them go to town, and they just haul one in every cast.
Yeah,
they love it.
How big are the ponds?
One is about a quarter of an acre.
Mm-hmm.
And one maybe a little bigger than, they're not too big.
Yeah.
About 7 or 8 feet deep, probably in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Not big enough. They're just big enough to water livestock. That's all they were there for.
So, they're livestock tanks, that's what they call them, right?
If you're from, I'm originally from Texas, and yeah, Texas, there's no such thing as a pond in Texas. In Texas, everything's a tank.
A tank, yeah. That's a tank. So you get you a couple of little, some of those little 9-foot kayaks, man. Stick them all on the ponds there, man. You have a good time.
You know, I just don't need to do that. I mean, I could drive just a few minutes from any direction from my house. And I'm either going to cross the river, go across the lake. I don't have to drive 30 minutes to get the water in any direction.
Cool.
And I go somewhere different every day, you know, and
right.
Get 30 minutes from home. So I just kind of ignore the pond. You know, I talked to a wildlife guy that said that the state would come in and clean them up and get the fish out. I guess I would imagine they probably shock them and scoop them all out and kind of start over where you have a population of crappie and bass and catfish, and they monitor.
Don't put any catfish in there.
Why?
No, you don't want to mix them. Not catfish. They'll take over.
Maybe I was mistaken, but I thought that's what he said.
Well, the southern pond guys down here, they don't like to mix the catfish in with the bass. If you could do like a crappie tank or bass and bluegill. Most of the time, though, when you're doing a bass pond, there's a fellow down the road from it. He's got one set up. I mean, saw him when he was building it. He put wire spools out there and everything, you know, cleared it all out before he filled it up with water. And then on the wire spools on top of that, he put brush and everything. So, you know, when he filled it up, you could see these little brushes, you know, tops sticking out of the water. But you know that underneath them, there's this this big wooden wire spool down underneath that I'm sure all the bass are hanging out. But he stocked it with bass and then gizzard shad for the bass. So didn't put anything else in there. It's like a Bass Pro Shop tank. So
I don't know what they were talking about putting in, but one of the drawbacks to it was if I did that, the state could, that, you know, whoever fished on my place had to have a license.
Right.
And the old man that lives behind me, he comes up there and he fishes, and he's one of these, he's got this thing he pulls with his tractor on the three-point hookup, and it's a platform, and it's got a chair on it and a little umbrella, and he just backs it right out over the water and climbs out on it, and he keeps those little bass and takes them home and eats them. And he's down there a couple of times a week. And then I've got three or four friends, like I said, that have little kids that are really not old enough to really go on any serious fishing trips. And they like to bring them there, and they stay for a little bit until they get worn out, and then they can go home. And that way they don't get burned out. And it's not a seriously long trip and a lot of ordeal to take the kids fishing and everything.
No, that's perfect for kids.
Yeah, I mean, you could just anything you throw out there, you're going to catch a fish every single time.
Right.
They're just, you know, from fingerlings up to about a foot long is all you're going to catch. And I've gone down there and just caught them and pulled them out and tried to kill them all. I've done everything, and there's just no... I think I would have to do that every single day for a while to get on top of them.
Yeah.
I've been there since 99 or 2000, I guess, and it's been that way. It's been that way ever since I've been there.
Yeah, that's a perfect way. The other, I think what's cool about, like, with kayak fishing and the youngsters is once you get them to where, you know, they're safe on the kayak and stuff, and they can... Kids are pretty agile. They fall off, they can get back on and stuff. But at least if they're not catching fish, they can just paddle around the kayak, you know, so it's something for them to do. But when you take a kid fishing and they're not catching any fish, they got nothing else to do, they just wind up pestering you.
And like my buddy, he's got two little girls, and he's really trying to get them into – he doesn't want them to sit at home and play video games. He's a big outdoorsman, and he's wanting them to experience that. And this is good about it. But he feels like with kayaks, that's what he wants to get them. But it also gives them a little bit of freedom. You know, if they're on their own boat, they can paddle where they want to around, and you know, not right there under his thumb the whole time.
Oh yeah.
Once they get old enough to actually, they're really small now. But once they get old enough, you know, he's planning. He's been out with me a couple of times, and he's planning on getting them a couple of small boats and himself one, and take them out. And it'll be cool. It's just right now they're so small. They just can't. They love to go out there and fish, but pretty much after an hour, you know, it wouldn't matter what you're doing. They're going to lose interest, and you know, they're ready to go do something else.
Mm-hmm. You check out Greg's stuff on Facebook there when he did the same thing I did. Just put the little guy in the tank well in the back and drag him around with you, right, Greg?
Oh, yeah, he loved that.
I think the clone was, he was 9 when we went and did the first, his first tournament, and he had the little, the Malibu Mini X, little 9-footer, and, fished the tournament with me, and I usually kept a tow rope tied to him, you know, so that he couldn't wander off too far and stuff. when I got the kayak for him, I made sure, you know, we went in a swimming pool, put it in the pool, let him and his buddies play on it for a couple of weeks, you know, so that he was comfortable getting on and off of it, flipping it over and everything. But we did the tournament and stuff, and come to find out, he come back in and won the youth section and got his, he's got a mount or a wilderness tarpon 120 now, that his boat. So
very nice.
Yeah. So, well, didn't your guy, Little Fly Reel win a tournament there? Didn't he do a kid tournament? Or that might have been Hammerhead that I was singing. His son just won.
Yeah, not my guy.
So, yeah. So, but it's fun. It's fun with the kids. You keep them out there, keep them interested. It's nice when they're old enough to get in their own boat, because then they can, you know, you just kind of let them paddle around, keep an eye on them. Put the big giant flag on him. I used to make him wear one of the little orange safety vests and an orange hat so that he was very visible, especially when we went on lakes where there were motorboats, so that he was highly visible. But it's a lot of fun. It's a good thing, too, and it doesn't matter even if it's not kayak fishing. You teach your kids to fish. You get them out there, keep them in the outdoors and stuff. At least you know where they're at. I never skipped school to go fishing or hunting or anything like that, but knock on wood. But it's not a bad thing to do. Not a bad pursuit at all.
Can you say you've never skipped work to go fishing or hunting?
No, I can't say that. No, I can't say that. I can't say that with all honesty. Or that I may have. Well, guess I'm going to have to take a little leave here, because today's just too pretty of a day. So, yeah, Riley won Striper. So, that's cool. All right. Well, you know, it's been another Thursday night, and appreciate everybody joining us. Greg, you guys have fun with the Frogmen this weekend?
Yeah, thanks. Just reviewing some of the stuff now with the emergency procedures and stuff like that. But it's a good time. Like I said, it's for a good cause, and any excuse to get out on the water and paddle around is good for me. So,
give us the quick info on it, you know, what it is, time, date, where it's at.
Sure. Tampa Bay Frogman Swim is something that's put on by the Naval Special Warfare Group guys to benefit injured SEALs and their families. They do a fundraiser swim that goes from the Gandhi Causeway to Picnic Island. The course is about 3 miles. They allocate about 2 hours for the swim. So that's a pretty good clip across a section of Tampa Bay there that ends up down by MacDill Air Force Base. Each swimmer is accompanied by a kayaker to, you know, kind of as a safety check, make sure they're okay, keep in touch, and to be there to intervene if anything does go wrong, somebody cramps up during a swim or something like that. So my first time out there, looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, so if you're listening to the podcast, you're in the Tampa area, make sure you go out, check it out. It'll be fun. Chuck, you're a little late, man.
I've been listening the whole show, man.
I saw you in there, man. What's going
on?
Yeah,
I was trying to get some things done. I'm having a buddy of mine design a poster for me to spread out around the local area in Central Florida to kind of help promote my radio show a little bit. So,
a wanted poster with a Redfish Chuck picture on it?
Yeah, like my mug. Just a big picture of my ugly face. Have you seen this Yeti, is what it says. And yeah. The beard is growing back, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the I lost the stash the other day. I woke up and it was attacking my nose, so I had to shave it off, man. Get it under control. But, hey, how are we looking for following weekend, man? Are you going to be available for some fishing?
Yeah, I'm available anytime that you need me, sir. It should be really good. I don't know the long weather forecast, what it looks like, but I know we just had our little cold snap here, and it's supposed to warm up nicely to the 70s in the weekend. So the water will get back to somewhat normal temperatures for this time of year, and the fish should start firing again. I got a couple trips lined up this weekend, and I think one or two for next week already. So.
Cool.
Yeah, should be good.
And we're going to drive in Friday night on the 13th, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll Saturday and Sunday. So, I heard D talking about Black Drum, and you guys are killing me, man, with all your pictures and stuff. Those are some pretty sweet pictures you took, though. I like that Nervous Water one and the Redfish back cruising the water there.
Yeah, I got a bunch more. I'm really trying to figure out my camera. It's hard to get some of those pictures for me with the one lens that I was using that day. It was the close lens, a 55, I think is what it was. So I basically had to become a pylon and just kind of sit there in the water and wait for the fish to swim close enough to me to be able to get a good shot of them. But that's been going on in that one particular pocket for a while now. And I say a while, a few weeks in a row. I haven't gone to that one particular spot and not seen that or not caught fish in that pocket. So it's been really, really good. But yeah, I was, you know, what was really cool about that, man, is seeing those little small grass shrimp.
Yeah.
Kind of shooting out of the water. And it was funny because, yeah, bloop, 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 right. So I'm in my waders and I kind of kneel down on the bottom and sit back on my heels. So, you know, I'm nice and steady. I got a good base underneath me, so I'm not, like, shaking or nothing and trying to get a good shot of this fish. Well, like, probably 4 feet out in front of me, all of a sudden, like, 50 of those little tiny shrimp go shooting out of the water. And it's like, that's the telltale sign. Like, something's happening right there, whether it's
yeah.
a stingray or a trout or something. And then this back just kind of comes up out of the water and starts pushing up even closer into the mud. And I was just like, oh, my God, my rod is behind me in my kayak. All I have with me is a camera. And it was killing me, man, not to, you know, want to kind of try and sneak out of there, grab the rod and go back. But actually the picture of the redfish that I posted that's really dark,
yeah,
the one fish that's really copper, that's the fish that's back is out of the water in the one picture.
Ah, cool.
So that was pretty cool that I took the picture of him in the water prior to catching him. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. In the
top water baits are going to be a thing. I know you like throwing top waters.
Oh yeah.
I've been wrecking those big trout on top water plugs. In fact, a little plug if I could. 321 Fish has a trout tournament going on the month of January. It's four trout. And it's the biggest, I guess the most length wins the thing. So say you come in with a 24, 25, 27, 28, whatever, and your trout are all bigger than everybody else's, and you win the money. So
yep, the 3-2-1 tournament stuff.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I decided to get in on that. I'm surprised Dee hasn't signed up yet. I don't know if she knows about it, but I'm going to have to, you know, ring her ear and get her in it. So
yeah.
I don't mind
getting
a girl. It's okay.
Well, I have to. You got the Canon, right?
Yeah.
Your camera.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll bring you a lens down for you to play with.
Sweet.
I got a. It's not a Canon brand, but it's a 50-500. And
whoa.
You'll like playing with that.
Yeah, dude. The other day, and I don't mean to hog up time on your show, but the other day. I was working into an area where I got the pictures of the spoonbills. It's
mm-hmm.
the same area where I got those redfish pictures, that same kind of muddy bottom, whatever. I look up, and there's ospreys flying all around my head. There's probably 14 or 15 of them in the sky just right above me. And
right.
they're picking those big trout out of the water. I think I put a picture up with one of them with the trout.
Yeah, I saw
and,
that one. That was cool.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, like, a light switch, they all took off. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I look up and there's two bald eagles.
Two eagles.
Flying over my head. Yeah. And I was like, I was away from the kayak. I had my fishing rod in my hand. I didn't have my camera with me. And I'm looking up like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
Come on. One of them's calling to the other and they fly off into a tree. And I'm like walking over to the kayak. And just as I open up the Yeti cooler, which is my dry box for my camera.
Right.
They fly off, and I'm like, damn it. But, it's been a lot of fun down here, man. I can't wait for the boondoggle. Can't wait for you and the clone to make it down here in Lozier. So
yep.
we should have a good time.
Yeah, we hope that Lozier can make it down there with us. So, Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, the thing about it, you're learning that, you know, what Bill's always preaching, man. You either fish or you take pictures. You can't do both.
Yeah, well, you know what I ended up doing is in my waders, I've kind of got like a dry pocket across the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Like for your hands, like a warming pocket.
Right.
And I just shoved the butt end of one of the rods and the reel into that pocket. And walked off with the camera around my neck. And I was like, you know what? Because, man, there were so many redfish around me, and it was just, absolutely killing me not to throw at them. So I got a couple shots, and my battery went dead on the camera. And then I put the camera around my back, you know, hung it off my back of my neck to kind of keep it dry from me splashing that would happen. And, man, it was good, man. Great couple of weeks fishing down here. So look forward to
it. All right. We're stoked to get a chance to come back down, fish with you guys. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks. All right. Well, that's about it for tonight. I think I've had enough. My fun meter is pegged. Thanks for joining us, Chuck. And
yeah,
any plugs other than the 3-2-1?
Check out my show on Monday. And
yeah.
You
see Mike in the in the chat room there.
Yeah. And check out Tackle Webs, of course. And then also, too, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be down in the Central Florida area the second week of February, the Apopka Old Florida Outdoor Festival will be going on the 10th through the 12th, I believe. So check it out. Should be a good time. OldFloridaFestival.com, I believe, is the website.
Okay. And then when you get done there, come on down and join us at the Boondoggle.
There you go.
And everybody's going to be there. Chuck's going to be there, bringing excellence to the site. And Becker's going to be there. And I'm going
to
be there.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. And Nate, you still there, man?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you take it easy, man. We're going to call it a night.
Cool, man. Well, I guess I'm going to wait on this guy to come get his Peugeot.
A Peugeot. All right.
And I stuck it up on the front of my trailer. And I don't know. It's an ugly little car, man.
Supposed to be really smooth riding, though.
I don't know. Got a
hydraulic suspension. All right. Well, you take it easy, Nate. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Good night. Tight lines. And you've been listening to Kayak Fishing Radio Thursdays. We've got a show tomorrow night. That would be Fishing the Wild West with the Spike and Ike Show. And tune in and listen to them or catch their podcasts. Monday nights is Redfish Chuck. You just heard him there. Chuck's Kayak Adventures. Check him out if you're in the area. Also, make sure that if you're down there in the Sebastian area, check out D. Kaminsky, realkayakfishing.com. YakAngler.com, our folks over there, the other part of the Boondoggle crew, check them out. And what is that, Fishing Florida Radio or Florida Fishing Radio, Chuck? Chuck's gone. I think it's Florida Fishing Radio or Fishing Florida Radio. Every Saturday morning, Captain Mike Boudreaux and Steve Chapman there, give them a listen. One day we'll be smooth and cool like them in real live radio. But everybody in the chat room, Dad, appreciate you being in. The guests there next time, make sure you log in with your Facebook or sign in, and you can join in the fun. Greg Crisp, hope you guys are staying warm up there. We'll see you down at the Boondoggle. Losers, Chris and Mark, you guys, those are our hosts for Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Coming out of the Virginia Beach area on Wednesday nights, that would be Mark Wheeler. So, Fishing Florida. Thanks, Mike. Captain Mike there joining us in the chat room. Fishing Florida Radio. Check them out. And we'll see you guys next time. Kayak Fishing Radio. Good night, Greg. Have a good one, man.
Good night, Jeff. Take care.
Yep. You too, buddy. We're out of here.